welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 313. I'm Adam, and Kirby isn't here, so I can't be bothered to do a quote. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Ask a silly question.
And who else could be bothered to come on the show this week?
Just us two.
Lightweights. Yes. So this week we're going to be looking at Wheel in Space.
Wheel in Space.
Oh, you've got the title right. That doesn't happen very often, does it? So, Debbie, right, come on, I'm going to sit back. Get Deb to make me a cup of tea while you do the synopsis. I'm only joking. Actually, no, I'm not, because I didn't actually do a synopsis, and I can't really watch it back, because it's mainly reconstruction. Mm-hmm, and I actually watched, even though we've got two episodes that exist, I've watched it all on telly, on that online thing that Mary gets a bit paranoid about mentioning.
Oh, yes, yeah, I watched it on as well.
So, let's see what I can remember. There's a problem with the TARDIS, isn't there? The good old fluid links.
Yes, the fluid link, but they're calling
it... About time
it,
they sizzles out a little bit.
Yes, they're called time vector generator instead, they're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so they've sort of burned out, so mm-hmm. The TARDIS sort of more or less crash lands into a spaceship.
Into the engine room and of a spaceship.
Not a Dalek city where they need to find some mercury to fix a fuel link.
I did like the fact about episode 5, Jamie reminded the Doctor they needed to get mercury.
That's jumping forward a bit.
I know, but the reference to mercury is that it's there at the beginning and then suddenly Jamie's reminding him about it. And it's like, oh yes, mercury.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on that.
Consider that one. Moving backwards to episode 1. So they're on this spaceship. Something happens to the Doctor somewhere along the line, because they do a little bit of sneaking around this spaceship thing, not a lot really happening. Mm-hmm. And then they cut over to the wheel itself, where we start sort of just meeting.
There's a weird robot on the spacecraft that's sort of navigating the ship to the wheel, and it's part of when it changes direction or something, the rocket goes and throws Jamie out of bed, who's gone to sleep for a bit. And the Doctor against the corridor wall, which is how
so it's petrified and have a week off and have a holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, essentially there's not a lot going on there, so they cut across so we just can meet the characters on the wheel in space. That's basically what episode 1's about. It's about meeting the characters
and
the
food
story.
In space as well.
Yeah,
there's a reference to the bit where they want food, and Jamie wants roast beef, and the Doctor wants pork meal, and they end up with tablets and sachets.
I'm
and
with Jamie on that one, not necessarily the tablets and sachets, but the roast beef. So, episode 1 is essentially just meeting the characters. At the end of episode 1, the wheel is going to blow up the rocket with its laser. So then we meet the laser as well, so we can meet everything encompassed in the story itself.
Those little orbs.
Yes, that, I know all about your orbs.
Oh, thank you. No, the little orbs that are in a chest. Oh, God, Benny, it's getting worse. They manage to infiltrate. They turn out to be cybermats, but they end up managing to sort of osmosis their way into the spaceship. And the people on the in the control room notice that there's they notice it's towards the end of episode 1, beginning of episode 2, they notice a dip in the oxygen and things like that.
Message. I wonder if it's a 20 megabyte message.
No, it isn't.
I've got
it comes
some
up.
Cash has appeared. Some cash has appeared in my account. I better say thank you for that. Yeah, carry on, Deb. Well, I thank this customer.
That's all right.
Thank you. I haven't checked. I should really check it's in there.
Meanwhile, there, Jarvis, who is the controller of the wheel, definitely wants to destroy the silver carrier, but everybody else is being careful because they want to know if there are people on board or if there are people who've been ill.
Yeah, but for the benefit of the viewer, they're going to destroy it so as we can wait for a week, essentially.
Exactly.
To find out what happened to Mary and the Doctor.
Mary and the Doctor,
That's
Jamie
another story.
And,
Mary and Paul McGann.
Jamie is trying to get into the control room using the time vector generator, and the pulses, regular pulses he's making, deafens the radio controllers in the control room, so they know that there's someone there. Mm-hmm. And two men float over in the space suits to go and see what's going on, and find Jamie comes running in basically and saying, come on quick, you've got to help the Doctor. And then they're on board.
Yeah. And we meet Zoe in episode 2, I think, as well.
Yep. She's more of a smart ass. She's assigned to look after Jamie. Jamie sort of
lucky Jamie.
He sort of regresses back to not understanding technology throughout this story.
Well, the technology in this story is a little bit sort of above and beyond, you know, isn't it? I know he's used to be in the TARDIS, but it's a future technology, so
yeah,
must be quite confusing for him.
Yeah, so the first thing Zoe says to him is, "You're wearing female garments," which was going to be my other quote, but I couldn't find it.
Aren't I sportsball not doing the quotes?
That's all right. Save them for next time.
No. So, yes, what happens? Oh, yeah, the doctor's still better. He eventually gets transported onto the ship, and he's sort of in a medical facility, isn't he? But a bit suspected, as they usually are, of
sabotage. And Jamie comes up with John Smith as his monitor. That's brilliant. I didn't know about that, so obviously...
I didn't know it was in this episode.
No, I was just sat there watching, and it's like, oh, his name's John Smith. Yeah, John Smith, eh? Oh, yes, I'm well, But I just... This episode was quite interesting because you had they were firing off so many different coordinates and how many million miles things were and how long Nova had taken, and then you get Jamie just destroying the X-ray gun, basically, or putting it out of action with liquid plastic. And as we remember from previous episodes, that does for Cybermen, so it's it's quite cool that the guy who sees a Cybermat coats it in, automatically reaches for it and coats it in plastic.
Interesting thing also about this episode is looking at the reconstruction is how repetitive it was, so that they were able to use clips from the surviving episodes to recreate certain elements
like the
of
fire
the
bit
ones.
fire.
And that, actually, in the episode they nicked it from happens about three or four times, and from the same angle and everything, but I didn't detach from the enjoyment of the episode. Very cleverly reproduced, actually. Reconstructed, I should say.
The orbs hatch.
She goes again.
Mini Cybermen.
Do they? I'm not going to look.
What? Mini Cybermen.
Yeah, but they're not mini, though, are they?
They looked it, though. The way they'd sort of done it with the orbs was they were looked about that big. They looked about that big. And then it looked like they hatched, and then in the next episode they were fully grown, sat down.
Yeah. Embryonic cycle.
The countdown reaches zero on the silver carrier.
Does it? How do we get from orbs, Cybermen, and countdown?
It's the end of episode two. We go into part three, which is the full episode, and that's the one where he destroys the gun.
Yeah.
And Jarvis is convinced that they're on to sabotage the wheel. And catches him red-handed.
That Jarvis, is it that the one that he's actually Scottish, but he didn't have a Scottish accent in this episode, because he used to be in a afternoon soap, I remember, in the 90s. I've got Take the High Road or something. I'm pretty sure he used to be in that.
Yeah. Yes. No, but he had a very English accent.
No, could be, he wasn't.
But he was
stitched this pal.
Like the cool Irish bloke in about episode four, he was brilliant.
The worst one was the Chinese bloke. He was embarrassingly not Chinese.
And Tanya as well. She starts first episode full-blown Russian accent.
Oh, she's supposed to be Russian.
Yeah, and then
she?
Second episode, it's like, I can't be bothered. Every now and then, just slightly little hint of, her name's Tanya, she's Russian. And then by the end of it, she's got her English accent back. And it's quite funny. And she's got her arms around Leo by the end of it as well.
Yeah. Leo had some cool hair, didn't he?
It was amazing.
Pardon? We didn't go that far.
No, it was quite astonishing. Like Rimmer.
Yeah. The other one was, there's an actor, I think he played like a Mexican character. And he was he's quite a well-known actor. He's been in Doctor Who since then. Playing all sorts of different characters, but it's one of those things.
Do you want to wiki him, or
I don't know what his name is.
It'll be in Wikipedia, won't it?
So I suppose, by way of homage to Kirby, who's probably not even listening to this episode, we better do that, haven't we?
No, I've got it here. I can wiki it.
This is a computer,
away.
You know.
I know. All right then.
What's his name?
I don't know. The episode's called Wheel in Space.
Got a pad across my keyboard, makes it very difficult to type stuff.
And then it will say. Go to the wiki, and then you go to the cast, and
the cast,
Enrique Donald Sumter.
Enrique,
I thought it was.
Yes, you did.
Oh, he's in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Was he? No, I don't remember him being in that. All right, Doctor Who. Oh, well, here we are. So, yeah, Commander Ridgeway in the Sea Devils. There we go. That's what I probably remember him most from. Of course, this is Wikipedia, because of course it's right. Kirby seems to think so anyway. That's a bit for Doctor Who, isn't it?
I think, isn't it? But it said the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Did it?
Yeah, on the top.
That's one of Isabella's favourite series.
Doctor Who. You missed the President episode, Hellbent.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He's bald in that. Oh, of course he was.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I didn't know. Now I remember, yeah, because we did refer to him being in.
So,
in,
how
in
did we not know episode. That, honestly? Oh, yeah, God, I remember Kirby
he was
a
captain. He was the captain of the U-boat, wasn't he? Or the submarine in Sea Devils.
Oh, and, how did we not know that?
But I didn't know.
That?
Yeah, why didn't I pick up on that?
God.
Master. Isn't it nice actually being able to get through without interruptions? Moving on. Right, the president then is pressing the fire button.
But Billy, Australian guy, Bill, he's trying to work out what's going on with the X-ray laser.
Yeah.
And he sees a cybermat and calls it a Billy bug. But then he realises after he shuts it away in the cupboard, because he doesn't want anyone to see it because everyone thinks he's nuts anyway, to mess up the supply of bonalium, which are the rods they need to power the X-ray
supply
machine.
Of bananas, yes.
Bananarums.
There was a bit.
Just reading my note there. Gemma tests the doctor. She x-rays the doctor and said, "This is very interesting." But you don't get anything about his binary, system or anything like
that.
You know,
because it's clever writing.
Mm.
Yes.
But yeah, I did think because after the lead into it, I thought, well, maybe she's going to say something about it, but nothing crops up. Yeah. Jamie doesn't know what meteors are.
Meteors aren't what we saw on the screen. Really weird things that were sort of going round in circles.
They're little round balls. They looked a bit like coconuts.
Or teasers.
Yeah, that's probably more than that. Cybermen are responsible. Episode 4. The Cybermen are responsible for the star going nova.
Oh, we've got a viewer. Hello, viewer.
Hello, viewer. Probably Tom. TMZ, what my wife is up to.
It's Dinos Daniel. Hello, Dinos. Dinos, as the Americans would call him. Dinos.
Dinos Daniel.
Good day.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. And they're going to x-ray the... Because basically, the guy that got killed by the cybermat, it's in a lump of plastic. And they're going to x-ray it and find out what's in it, and as soon as they identify it's a cyberman, that's it. The doctor's gone from sitting around trying to have a break and a rest.
Yes. Somebody thinks it's a forgery, don't they?
Yeah. And the cybermen two guys go over to the rocket to see if there's any bananium on the rocket. And the two cybermen mind control with actual visual going along.
I thought we could do and you'd have my eye out then. Star. Stop scratching.
And then we're on part 4, which is another recon.
If we get another view, I'll pick Star up and get her on the.
You've got all this episode 4 is just Jarvis denying that anything is wrong. Everything is normal. There is nothing. No need to worry.
That sounds very similar to Robson.
Yeah, Robson from the last story. Mm. Yeah, no, nothing's going wrong. Everything's fine here. Yeah.
Yes, they always have to have in this era of Doctor Who a denial character.
He was very much one, wasn't it? Mm. It did feel quite similar to the last story because of that, because you had the same characters sort of going, no, come on, this is it. But Gemma was a much calmer influence than Harris was in the in the previous story.
I thought Gemma was quite an interesting character. Shame they killed her off.
She would have made a good companion.
But I just obviously with us going to get a female Prime Minister again. And I thought, in this day and age, you wouldn't have dreamed of having a woman in such a high sort of degree of power, so much really, not in 1968 or whatever it was. So I just thought it was quite interesting. The way she was portrayed as a strong female character in a position of power. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Meanwhile, the Cybermen have arrived on the wheel in the big case, suspiciously big case, which has got bananium on top of it.
Computer-generated big case as well.
That was some good animation, actually. It did the job. I mean, cybers were basically wearing silver wetsuits, which was pretty cool.
But it's a similar sort of, from the Evil of the Daleks, the standard of computer animation, this particular story.
It was nice to have it around. And as you say, they were using scenes from the surviving episodes to fill in the gaps. Bill is meanwhile in deep trouble for having allowed the cybermats basically to run riot on the bananium. And but then he basically is put under guard and then isn't under guard anymore because Gemma decides he's needed. And he then goes and gets his mind controlled in the, and sent to the operations room where he destroys the
laser?
Radio communications. He's only supposed to destroy something, but he goes
I fall asleep during episode 4, so I'm going to go back and rewatch it last night, so I'm really tired.
They bring up a thing called the all spacemen are protected from mind control by drugs. Zelensky capsule, which gives off a signal when there's an adverse influence. Yeah, and then it can be blocked off by some sort of thing on the back. What was it? It was some metal plate.
It was
plate.
A metal plate with a transistor on it. Oh, throw that one away. There's no quiz this week. You'll have to remember that for the next one.
Yeah, I've got it written down, as you know.
Oh, yes, your excuse, is it?
Yeah, there you go.
In highlighter pen, knowing you.
Usually, but I haven't. I couldn't find it.
No, you'll be highlighting that bit.
Yes, of course.
I might have to remove that.
And Doctor and Jamie decide to go off hunting for the Cybermen. Mm-hmm. Doctor definitely goes from 2 or 3 episodes of sitting around doing nothing to just being into it and getting involved. And
Oh, hang on. I've got...
Your
Dean
voices
Osonia.
Are travelling into the future. Ooh.
That's interesting. It's a typical Australian thing. Yeah. Right? They have a thing about being
it's on
the
tomorrow!
They love being in the future. I've got a really itchy nose. That's not on tomorrow.
There's always
tomorrow,
someone in the world who's...
Maybe in the future as in the
well,
later today.
Today. I don't know.
Get yourself sorted out. Normally, in an evening show, it would be in the future because we'd be in the early hours of the morning.
Well, I don't know what time it is. Either was up most in
our time. Because whenever we have Robert on, he's usually in the garden. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning because he can't be in the house.
Yeah, he's not allowed in the house to do it. Gets into trouble, yes. Yeah. The Cybermen have controlled and killed a lot of people on the wheel. They're trying desperately. They've helped fix the X-ray laser because they need it to get these smaller cyber ships down onto the Earth. That's that's what it amounts to, but it takes almost the entire story to get to that point. But
it looks
kind
like
of
an album cover now. Got exactly half of your face and exactly half of my face.
And you've got the two guys that were originally mind controlled are sort of still working for the cybers, and then Flanagan, the brilliant Irish guy.
What did Alan do?
Flanagan, and he takes them on by you need a few lessons in the noble manly arts. That was quite funny. A big fist fight, which you had to hear, and then a few clips, and then he gets taken over after Valance accidentally shoots Laylam instead of Flanagan.
I sort of blinked during that bit and wondered why Laylam was dead.
Yeah, he was on the floor. No, basically what happened in the scuffle is that Flanagan turned him round, so that Valance was going...
Okay, fair enough.
Jamie accidentally lost the time vortex thingy, the rod. He thought he'd put it in the Doctor's pocket and the Doctor didn't have it.
He thought he put his rod in the Doctor's pocket.
Oh my God. And so Jamie gets sent to the rocket to find it in the middle of a meteor storm that is being lasered. I mean, this was ridiculous. You know, Leo was basically us going, what have you done? Why are you sending Zoe and Jamie?
Yes. I was thinking
rocket?
That myself. Yeah. Nice one, Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Doctor's like, well,
just
Zoe
he's annoyed.
Calculated it. Zoe calculated it. Yeah,
just because he's annoyed that Jamie left it on the. Yeah. So he puts Jamie in the potential death situation.
Because he does say that it's more important, two lives are less important than the others.
It's not very doctorish attitude,
no.
Is it?
No. But he even his hair's gone wild at that point because he's like, oh my God, I've put Jamie
doctor
in danger.
Always put himself ahead of everyone else.
Better not this time, yeah.
But obviously he needs to... he wouldn't be able to, if he's not there, they wouldn't be able to beat the Cybermen. I think that's his point. But
I think that
still,
is, but it does...
But his own companions, you would say, well, can we borrow a couple of your crew members?
Yeah, there you
like
go.
That.
Yeah, no.
And because the Jamie knows what it looks like.
But then he describes it to Zoe in episode 6 as... Yeah. A stick about that long, gold knob at one end, white knob at the other. Can't miss it. Mm. And he turns up in a bit and goes, found it. You know, just found it on the floor. Mm. Meanwhile, Victoria's looking.
Victoria, she's back, is she?
Zoe. unfortunately, they're so similar looking. They're similar looking, different characters. You know, it was just pictures mostly, and it was just like. Oh.
Dinos Daniel said, that's a big rod, Doctor. The doesn't take a lot to get you snickering.
No,
it?
I know. All going red. I have two phases of colour on face. Pale or red, that's it. There's nothing else. Jamie finds the rod,
you
apparently.
Just let all the listeners know now that all they got to do is post innuendo.
Yeah, I know. And then I go bright red, yeah, always.
Mm. This is your first appearance on the live feed, by the way.
It is,
all the other members of the show, apart from Andy Nunn, have actually been on the live feed.
Mm. So, no, I've been...
Because Cuttermel Rose has been a bit exempt at the moment until you work out how to do it.
Exactly. I mean, no, it should be all right. We've sorted it out, the use of internet whilst doing stuff.
Carry on, sorry, I'm interrupting.
For some reason, the TV, the monitor on the rocket is keyed straight in to the Cybermen having a conversation with one of their captured humans. Yeah, exactly. Okay, and they're talking.
The Skype at the moment.
They're suspicious because their plan to turn the oxygen into ozone has failed because Gemma, who died warning the doctor, they had to go to auxiliary or spare.
This disturbed me a little bit. Obviously, they weren't very happy about Gemma dying. No. But there she is, her body just lying in that room. They're all stepping over her. And they're like, do something with the body. Or just leave her there.
Yeah, just leave her there. Well, yeah,
shut her eyes or something.
The Cybermen keep saying, can you get rid of this body? I mean, at one point, Tanya says to Leo, someone's just used the garbage chute in the loading bay. Well, that was unauthorised. Someone's going to swing for it. It's because they've just disposed of the body, No, Gemma's just... left on the floor. But, we're suddenly looking into the Cybermen, spying on them, talking about, because they're suspicious, they know someone is aware of their methods. And so they ask this poor crew member to think about everybody that he works with, and then he gets stuck on the doctor, and it's like, what's the name? Doctor! What's the name? Doctor! And eventually the Cybermen realise who he is, and he is known and must be lured out of the force field that's been set up around the control room to...
Unfortunately, with this force field, there's not a recorder stuck in the middle of it. That's a reference from a future episode. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who. Not long ago, I've done that one now.
Doctor goes through the air tunnels. Apparently there's a way out, really quite easy, to the power room, and finds some handy mercury. And then Flanagan gets sent to destroy the force field, and he meets Jamie and Zoe on the way back in. And he takes them straight through to the control room. But meanwhile, Gemma's died warning about the oxygen.
Yes.
And the doctor, Jarvis has now died because he's gone out to confront the Cybermen and is dead. But he lifted the force field to do it. And they're like, you've got to do this. And there's no mention of a button being switched or a force field being raised or the oxygen being changed. No mention, other than a bit later the...
You're not impressed with that, are you?
No, I wasn't. Because it was like real... Gemma died warning them and nothing was said like, I've changed the auxiliary. You just hear it a bit later on, the Cyberman goes, well, it's not worked. Well, they've obviously switched to auxiliary, but there was no...
Only a little thing.
I know, but it was just so much of a... Oh, my God, I've died to tell you this. And they were like, yeah, whatever, let's carry on destroying the meteorites, you know. It did feel like that, unfortunately. And then something turned... They've got to mention the lava lamps in the oxygen room.
Oh, yeah, they're cool.
Brilliant. They were huge.
I got one down on the floor underneath all that
they
stuff.
They were huge. They were like... Huge
that's
things. I'm really...
Mine's a brilliant one from when they were quite popular in the 70s.
Oh, I don't have one anymore.
Why? What happened to it?
Well...
Reese! Oh, send us John! Reese!
Hello, Reese!
Send us a message. Can you come on? I know you haven't seen the story, but we want to speak to you.
the huge lava lamps. And well, I don't have a lava lamp anymore because my sister thought it was water, not oil, and it's decided it was murky and tipped it out and put water in it and it went... It's like, oh my God. It's like, what have you done with my lava lamp? Oh, I've changed the water. What do you mean you've changed the water?
It's interesting about those lava lamps. Obviously, they came out in the 60s, popular in the 70s. And
came back in the 90s, didn't they? They did have come back.
Yeah. Those little silver, fluffy things, confetti.
No, the confetti
them,
probably, didn't like that.
Anyway, carry on. Yes.
Meanwhile, on the radar, something too big for an Earth spaceship has hoved into view. Which
not
is a cyber ship, and the doctor basically he can power up.
Bloody hell, Reese. Unfortunately, I'm in a hotel room without access to my usual equipment.
Never mind.
To happen in a hotel room.
Oh dear.
With his excuses. That's from book two, obviously. the new ones.
Sorry. Oh my god. The Doctor needs the rod, basically. The Doctor needs the piece of equipment he sent Jamie for to power up his cylindrical piece of equipment with the gold knobby bit on the end.
Stop it, woman.
He can power up the laser, and basically you've got 5 minutes of the programme left. So in that time, the laser destroys the cyber ship. The Cybermen that have been floating over, you know, I think they used something from the one with William Hartnell. The one where they come to moon base. When they go to moon base, there's a bit they used to clip from moon base.
That's not William Hartnell, dear.
Wasn't it moon base?
10th Planet was William Hartnell. That's his last one.
The bit where they're all just sort of floating in space, they use that again.
And the same sort of music for space.
They managed to close the airlock, and then some, you know, because Flanagan's now back to normal, he uses a magnetic pulse of the shields to shove the cybers out into space, so you know that some have probably survived.
Well, Rhys Parton says it's book 35. Well, I shouldn't know. And Venos says, Jamie, look at the size of that thing, Doctor. The Second Doctor, yes, Jamie, that's a big one.
That is a big one, yes. And ship blows up, Cybermen are jettisoned, Earth Controller being told all about it. And
Earth Controller?
Earth Central. Yeah, and Leo was taken over, Tanya's now draped around him because he's in charge. And then Zoe tries to stow away on the TARDIS by climbing into the chest. Yeah. But the Doctor basically decides to show her about the Daleks to try and put her off.
Yeah. So therefore, you know what happened then, as far as Doctor Who goes on TV. There was a break, because there was a break between series, and they showed or repeated...
Squeaky Jet.
Pardon?
I've got the Squeaky Jet.
They repeated Evil of the Daleks. Mm-hmm. So the viewers at home would have seen Evil of the Daleks
repeated. Oh, wow. Maybe we should do that.
I don't know if they then would have repeated the whole series, because that's only one story, but that's basically what they did. So I'll tell you what. Oh, we've lost a viewer. this actually, I didn't realise this is the first time I've actually seen this in a full story capacity, because I tried to download from Audible, all the audio versions of these stories, but I couldn't afford to get all of them, so I didn't actually get around to getting Weird in Space. So although I sort of fairly much knew the stories, it was the first time I've seen it and heard it in its full capacity. I suppose it was padded out a little bit in some areas, I think. But it didn't detract from my enjoyment of the story. Didn't think it was boring at all. I thought it was quite good, actually. But I think, you know, most people would probably say it could survive being a 4 or 5-parter, probably 4-parter.
That's
really
been true for most of their stories, though, isn't it? It really does seem odd that they're all 6-parters.
Well, episode one was there was too much establishing of characters and situations. I think they could have done that probably in about 10 minutes, what they did in episode one. And there was a lot of fire. Take all those, half of those fire clips out, they probably would have lost an episode as well. But in all, it was it was very, very good. Go on then, Deb, what do you think?
I enjoyed it.
Okay, right, let's move
there
on.
There you go. I enjoyed it, as you say, you know, we've been saying every time, or I've definitely been saying every time, could have been a lot smaller.
Because remember, viewers, this is the first time she's experienced Patrick Troughton.
I did love the John Smith name. That was brilliant. That really did sort of...
We've lost all the viewers,
haven't we? Yeah, no. Bye. That's it. We're done. We've done it,
Watching on delay. No, we've got two back again now. What's going on?
I don't know.
We've gone from 0 to 2.
Probably Tom. Hi, Tom.
And Dino says, love Jamie listening to him now on Big Finish. We'll see. Because he's listening to that and watching us. Very strange.
Fantastic. No, clever. I've been listening to quite a lot of Big Finish lately as well.
Like you.
And
I've got time.
Well, I have evenings to myself at the moment because Tom's on late, so I get to sit and listen to Doctor Who. Isla is quite happy to sit and listen to Doctor Who as well. Good. She loves
Audible
stories.
As long as it's not Vashti Narada.
No, you can't say Vashti Narada to Isla. She goes running, honestly. On a sunny day, you can't do anything with her. So it's Vashti Narada, and it's just dust, for God's sake. no. But
look at those shadows, Isla. Yeah,
I've got two shadows, Isla. No, she's I think that for her the Vashtinarada is the same scary level as the Daleks were for me, because it's still, they still send shivers up my spine. But this, I thought Cybermen were really good in this one. I enjoyed them, and I enjoyed the animation of them as well. I thought that was pretty cool. The characters were pretty rounded, but I just wish that, well, you know, they all gave up. They all gave up using the accents by like episode 3, and that was a lot better. And it was nice to see how actually quickly the story moved with the full surviving episodes. Those 25 minutes just went really quickly. It was just the repetitiveness of the few pictures that they had to pad out the other four episodes was just got a bit samey. Obviously, when we discussed it already, it was going to be a bit like that, but overall absolutely thought it was brilliant. Enjoyed it. It was another cyber story, another we've got to solve the problem, but I just thought it was interesting. There's a lot more diversity, and nice to meet Zoe as well.
It was and also a bit of end of an era for Cybermen, because this is the last time the Cybermen looked like that, and that they adopted their more apparently I'm going Kirby. somebody must be streaming in the house.
Do you believe?
What was I on about? Oh yeah, so the more traditional design of Cybermen will be from the next cyber story onwards. So this is a sort of an end of an era,
for the Cybermen. It felt like it as well. You know, it was like we've destroyed them again. But I did like the fact that there were at least three just floating off into space, and they don't need air to breathe. And that.
But
was
then
that.
They disappeared, didn't they? Did they float off into space and then just go?
I don't remember them doing that.
I don't know, maybe I imagined it. So yeah, there we are, that's Wheel in Space. So we can move on to a bit of feedback.
Allow
you to rest your voice for a little bit while we do that.
See, it's a good idea that I write
the question. Hello, my podcast is in Kirk. The Wheel in Space by David Whittaker. The Wheel is an international space station. Apart from the English types, they have Kasabi, Flanagan and Chang. This story was broadcast 4 months before the first manned Apollo space flight into Earth orbit. Mm-hmm. Like the first Doctor, the second needs more mercury for the fluid link.
Yeah.
It was Jamie who came up with the name John Smith.
Yeah.
Zoe uses a tape recorder to record her results. Luckily, a fan at home was recording the story on a tape recorder, as most of the BBC recordings are lost. The Cybermats can be deactivated with shaving foam, quickset plastic.
Normally they have shaving foam in them.
TARDIS Wikia says the spacesuit costumes were reused in Star Wars.
Really?
The crew on the Wheel want to remain in space, but they think Jamie is a saboteur from the Leave campaign. Dr. Corwin's played by Anne Ridler. Any relation to the Staggering Stories podcast? Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah.
You've seen Kurt, by the way.
I know. Right, thank you, Ian.
Prepare yourself.
Oh, no.
It's not very long. You're all right.
Okay. Alan Butcher. Mono silly balls on a Wheel in Space. Dear 20 megabyters, you may have heard that I was set a hard task by a man who will stay not named on your 2x10 MB pod show. There is, of course, no real chance that I can do what he asks, and I would not wish to dumb down the show more than it is so far.
I don't know what you're saying about that.
Well, that's standing my drink when next we meet.
And he's not on it this week.
No, he's not drunk.
God, that was my one. Oh, don't remind me of that one.
At least he didn't go to sleep.
God. Why is it every time we do a bloody link up, he's either drunk or spaced out? Carry on.
I love you, Andy. The Wheel in Space is, of course, a closely studied explanation, of the exogenesis of the human endeavour of empire building. I think I said that wrong. The Wheel itself placed into a frontier situation in space also embodies the I can't read it. Cyclical nature of this process of rise and fall and rise and fall, etc. The various endogenous and exogenous... He's used it again! He said he wouldn't. Threats to the process of establishing an empire illustrated by the pullback to Earth movement mentioned and the Cybermen. Natural problems are illustrated by the asteroids, and the insidious knowing at internal defences and organisation are shown through the Cybermats. We also learn that Rassilon was working undercover on the wheel, no doubt waiting for the Doctor to arrive, and that Donald Sumpter once had hair.
Very good, yeah.
We also learn that Cybermen have the unnerving capacity to swim upright through a vacuum. Good story, though. By now, we do need to move on from base under siege territory. Happily, we will. These are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you.
I'm
Alan,
sorry, I need
really
new glasses.
Correspondences with the show.
Okay. I need new glasses.
Oh, it's your glasses, is it? Right, okay.
They're
now, at this stage,
old.
We'd normally do, and you won't get this one, but she'd win. But I have done a load of questions, so we'll just have to amalgamate them with the next story, and we'll have a double bumper episode.
Yay!
I don't wish I hadn't spent all that time compiling them there, because I stayed up very, very late last night doing this. So we'll move on to news, if there is any. I know there's filming started. I've seen lots of...
Matt Lucas has been posting quite a lot.
I get emails from... that's Doctor Who Filming. I didn't even know I'd even subscribe to emails from Doctor Who Filming, but they're not particularly spoilerish. There's a couple of shots of Pearl McKee looking cute. Okay, what we got here? I haven't done
Peter being happy. You got David Tennant.
Hang on, I'm going back a bit here.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
And
Stephen Moffat to receive honorary doctorate. Don't tell Ben. Out of the wall. Piers Wenger to appoint a controller of BBC Drama Commissioning. He used to be on Doctor Who, you think. I think he'd go to ITV. Wasn't it going to be Coronation Street or something?
Channel 4, didn't he go to? Yeah.
Okay. So he's now BBC Drama Commissioner. Commissioning. So he won't be involved in Doctor Who because that is a currently commissioned programme, unless it needs to be recommissioning. So fingers crossed with that one. We don't know what happened with that Peter Capaldi nomination, so we'll have a look forward on that one.
Mm.
We talked about that last time. Doctor Who Comics Day next Saturday. So
this
that
Saturday.
Would be,
mm-hmm.
Oh, this coming Saturday.
July the 9th. Tomorrow.
Is designated the third annual Doctor Who Comics Day by publishers Titan, who make the little figures I've got on top of there. Essentially, I'm not going to read all that. Former television Doctor David Tennant today became a Doctor for real. He regenerated and as the actor received an honorary doctorate from for drama at the Royal Conservatoire of
Conservatoire of Scotland.
Why are they using the French word in Scotland? They don't even
the French.
They don't want to be part of Europe, do they? Or
no,
do they?
They do.
They do.
Yes, yeah. They voted
therefore
unanimously
they'd
in.
They'd rather be part of Europe than part of Britain.
Yes. Well, that's Scotland for you. Mm. They always have.
When they leave, they'll be going, where's our National Health Service? Well, you're not.
Tom wants to move to Scotland.
Well, does he want a National Health Service? What is that dog doing? Hey, right, the last bit of news is Demons Rising, written by David
Jay. Deimos, isn't it?
Or is it Deimos?
Deimos,
sorry.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
No.
See, I need you here to correct my reading.
Deimos, yeah.
Deimos Rising, written by David J. Howe and directed by Keith Barnfather. What is it? Some sort of...
2004 direct sequel to Downtime, but also to the John Pertwee era Doctor Who story, The Demons.
It's a video. Or audio.
In the film Cavendish, it looks like a DVD.
That's interesting. Who's in it? Beverly Cressman, Miles Richardson.
And narrated by Ian Richardson.
Oh, it must be. If it's narrated, it must be an audio.
Oh.
But it says here.
Yeah. Fully digitally remastered 2016, widescreen version of the feature.
True, it's a film. That's confusing.
It's only now released on DVD. Have to
find that.
It's got
special features on it. Are you going to get that?
I might do.
I suspect they could probably find it. It should actually have a link, but it doesn't, as to where you can find it. Oh, no, it says there are free copies of the feature up for grabs, courtesy of Cock.
Beg your pardon?
Cock Media.
Cock Media.
To be in with a chance to win, simply answer the following question. Beverly Cressman's character also appears in the modern series of Doctor Who, but who plays her? There you go. Mm. Don't say anything because it's for the people who want. Oh, of course, if you go on Doctor Who News.net, you will see that link. That's it for news. Mm. But I'm surprised I haven't actually posted anything in regards to the filming.
Isn't. Well, they did when it started.
I suppose it's spoilerific, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't like posting spoilery things on there. So there
no.
Right, I'm going to sit back while you sort out the sponsorship side of things. I did see a picture of Billy Kirkbride, who's been in Britain. He's been on the Isle of Wight. He hasn't been to see us.
No.
But he came with Paul Wilson, who's going to be on the Isle of Wight soon, and we'll be seeing a bit of Paul Wilson at some point when he actually moves to the island. Good old Paul. Right,
we were gutted, weren't we?
What
were
we looking for?
Sponsors.
Oh, yeah. New one. .co.uk.
Is like that 21.co.uk?
Yes, like I say, there is a picture posted on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, of Billy outside Who Won, and it was shut, which is quite amusing, really. Comes all the way from Australia.
It was shut when I went.
But he's a product. He could have gone in there and told them that he'd bought a product because of this show, and they were shut. Mm. I'm very frustrated by that.
I am, actually. I don't know. He came all the way from Australia and he was shut.
The number plate that is not available anymore. And I live in Australia. I've come to see you.
Yeah, they weren't there. I got it.
Because he
present.
Was quicker. Yeah. Right, stacking mugs. £14.99. Available at whoone.co.uk.
I like them.
I think they sold them individually before.
They did, yeah. You got the TARDIS, Tom Baker, Dalek,
love the TARDIS.
And K-9.
Oh, it's a Dalek.
It's a Dalek. The third one down is a Dalek.
Sontaran Experiment CD, which I suspect is an audio book of the novel.
Yeah, it's 185 minutes. So yeah, John Coleshaw reads this exciting classic novel.
Probably in the guise of the Fourth Doctor.
Oh, yes.
Met John Coleshaw.
Have you?
Yeah. I did get my picture taken with him. Didn't I not post up any photos?
We need the... I need the tea for one thing. That looks great. Mug and teapot, the little tea for one.
Darkness. Oh yes, indeed.
That's amazing. Sorry, reach across the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, nobody's watching. Well, somebody.
We've got one.
Yeah, so that's coming soon. What we got on? Oh, it's latest.
Isla products. Wants to watch it when she gets home.
What? Oh, hello. Yeah. Didn't swear.
No, we haven't actually. We've been very good. Yes. I've caught myself a couple of times.
Where the blimey next my Sonic gone?
There.
No, that's. That's my Fourth Doctor Sonic. Can't do an episode of the show without me using my Sonic screwdriver. I don't say Isabella's nicked it.
Probably.
Where's my Sonic screwdriver? Stop messing around.
I don't have
this
one.
My Sonic screwdriver. My Father's Day present from one of my children.
No, it's not
the
down
other one
there.
Forgot it was Father's Day. No, I should look around here. Stop playing with it.
I should be the next Doctor.
There's a great pile of stuff on here, but...
No.
Oh, it's a pair of scissors. That's not very
useful. You just play with that one.
No, I want my 12th Doctor one.
I haven't seen it.
It's been tidied out of existence as usual. Oh, who have we got? I did say...
We've got two viewers.
So we can get this dog, yeah.
Hello.
Into the picture. Hello. And she rather likes Debbie.
Mm-hmm. And you are so beautiful.
She doesn't interrupt as much as...
Flappy ears.
No, I'm talking about Kirby. Right, so that's one of the sponsors. Let's have a look at Lavazzi. It doesn't take a lot of looking at lavazzi.co.uk because we more or less know what they do. But I'm just
seeing.
I'm pretty sure Melinda would have told me if they had a new product out.
Win a brand new scarf.
Where?
Free scarf on there.
Oh, yes. Okay, we'll go on to that one. Although if you'd been on the show a while back, you would have won or had a chance of winning one by entering one of our competitions. Travel through time and... in a couple of clicks. Oh, well, hang on, it's not working. Oh, if you go to lavazzi.co.uk and click on the win a brand new scarf link, then you have a chance to win a Fourth Doctor scarf.
Cool.
So that's probably the best way of doing it. Lavazzi.co.uk. They have also a rather fab line of Star Trek memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not memorabilia, it's...
It's good stuff, it's lovely.
Merchandise, not memorabilia. Yeah. I was thinking of Star Trek the other day, actually.
Poor old Anton.
We talked about that last time. No, but I was just thinking of... I was thinking of Voyager. I was thinking of getting... Because I had every episode of Voyager on video, VHS. And then VHS died and I got rid of them all. But I did love Star Trek Voyager.
Good.
And on one of the channels on the telly, Star Trek The Motion Picture was on. It was the first time I've seen it in HD.
I
really wanted to watch the whole thing. It's so good. I remember at the time it being slated as not being very good. But
it's brilliant.
In hindsight, I think it's brilliant. Yes. And I love the way that all the characters in it actually look fairly young. Yeah, even though I think Shatner's wig looks a bit inaccurate in relation to Kirk's, but he still looks... young enough. Mm. They all look young enough that they could have still been in the TV series. Mm. But subsequent films, they looked quite a lot older. Don't worry, her breath.
Very lovely, but
that's Lavazzi. Now you can do the audible bit because
audible.co.uk. I have to find them, see if they've got anything new on.
You can't do it off the top of your head.
Well, audible.co.uk/20 megabyte. You can go on there and you can get a free month's trial where you can download one of their Audible books, and then you sign up for, I think it's about £7 a month. You can then have access to
more information than I do.
Huge amount of brilliance. At the moment, as I've said before, we're working our way through the Harry Potters, but I've downloaded a few Doctor Who's, and it's just brilliant to be able to just to go through all the back catalogue and listen to some really good stories. Sometimes you get people who read stories and you just, you know, you sometimes there's a voice you don't like. I know there's people out there who don't like my voice, but yes.
And, I've never heard this one before.
No, and
who said that then?
I got, when I first started, I got a couple of
did you?
Yeah,
well, personal, well, like private messages.
Yeah.
So, you shouldn't have told me. I would
no,
have.
No, it's all right. No, it was just
not all right.
No, it was years ago now. It's fine. But yeah, and some people's voice is great on me. Some people's voice, my voice, grates on other people.
Really?
And then occasionally you just got to sometimes cherry pick your way through. Yeah, sure. But other than that, you put our 20 megabyte in forward slash, and we get a mention, don't we? We'll get sponsorship next year as well. Would be nice.
I'm not sure. I've never thing back from them, but there you go. Keep it going for a bit. Yeah, so that's essentially it. Next week we've got Dominators, I think.
Yes.
I think because Andy implied that he was getting all excited about watching it. That'd be and it won't be next week because we can't record on Sunday because I'm busy. So I don't know quite when we're going to record yet. We'll see what we've got. I'll look at my calendar.
Did he say something about the 17th?
17th or something. Oh, yeah, 17th.
Yeah.
It'll be the 17th then.
Yeah, Sunday the 17th.
Seems to be available at the moment.
That's next weekend.
So there you go. We're going to aim for... What else have you got to read? We're going to aim for a recording on the 17th of July for
Dominators. I hope we're not still going Kirby. That'd be terrible.
Yes.
And hopefully Kirby's having a lovely holiday. Mary's had a nice sleep. And Andy's had fun at playgroup.
Anyway, right, so thanks for listening to the show and watching Dinos.
Yeah, and Reese.
See you again next time. See you again next time for Dominators. Goodbye.
Bye.
.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.